Lots of talk this morning about the situation in Atlanta. No one better to talk about it than Corey McCartney, who joins us this morning from Atlanta. Corey, I hope this phone is going to work okay for us this morning. Let me know if you're getting an echo. Good morning, Corey. Welcome back. How are you?
Hey, great, Bobby. How are you doing?
Doing well. We appreciate your time this morning. Well, my goodness, things just kind of broke loose in a hurry yesterday. Corey, give us your thoughts on the afternoon that was in Atlanta yesterday and what's going on there this morning.
I mean, certainly, I think a lot of people were shell-shocked, you know. I mean, I think for a generation of fans, I mean, they feel like they lost their Dale Murphy, they lost their Chipper Jones. Certainly, it's a, you know, kind of a rude awakening. I know there's a lot of kids kids I see all the time wearing number five jerseys that I'm sure not understanding what's going on here. I think, you know, from a pure business standpoint, I mean, the Braves were able to, you know, get a guy in Matt Olson that's going to be a lot more economical for them in the next couple of years than Freddie Freeman. But I think anytime you lose a player that's so identifiable with a franchise and organization, especially coming off 2 years in which he's won an MVP and been part of a World Series championship, I mean, I think the emotions are, it's all over the place for Braves fans. But I think right now the optimum thing here is simply shell shock.
Corey McCartney joins us from Atlanta this morning, bud.
It's interesting you say shell shock, because I was going to ask if you would please, in a nutshell, just tell us what happened. How did we get to this point? Just real quick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you go back to last spring, and Freddie Freeman was pretty clear that at that point in time, his representatives had heard very little to nothing from the Braves in terms of a contract. You know, he wanted to get it done before last spring. He didn't want to go into last year not knowing what was going to be happening for him in 2022 and beyond. And I think that, you know, that left him a little bit irritated. I think the Braves coming off of the pandemic and not knowing where their finances were going to be, you know, left them in a weird position. But certainly, I mean, it's harder when you see in the last 2 weeks that we've seen, because Liberty Media, the ownership of the Braves, is a publicly traded company, that we saw how much money they brought in, you know, in terms of revenue stream here from the Braves. And, you know, it was a substantial sum of money they brought in, well above what it would take Freddie Freeman in Atlanta. So, you know, I ultimately looked at it that you were going to see the Freeman decision made before the Olson trade happened. But I think the Braves got to the point where there were so many teams involved and they couldn't allow themselves to potentially be outbid by somebody else. And they went in and made the move they had to make. Alex Anthopoulos yesterday was extremely emotional about, you can't talk specifically about Freddie Freeman because it's a player that's no longer under contract. He could be seen as tampering, but he was emotional about the fact that they were having to make this trade to bring in Matt Olson. So, you know, obviously there's two sides to this whole thing. Freddie could have easily said, I'll take under market value, I want to stay a Brave. But you can't knock a guy for, you know, for realizing and maximizing his earning potential. The Braves simply, you know, out of this whole thing, just made a business decision.
And moving forward, Freddie Freeman plays for fill in the blank.
Yeah, exactly. And why has that not already happened this morning?
Well, it sounds as though it's literally going to turn into a bidding war now. The Red Sox have joined the fray. So you've got the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Rays, the Jays, and now the Red Sox all involved in this thing. I mean, I think the Dodgers certainly make the most sense. You know, Max Muncy, you know, is still not 100%. I think you can easily throw him at the DH position now that you have that in the National League. It, you know, makes a lot of sense there. But the Yankees, you know, we know their ability in the past to throw money at things. The Blue Jays, I think, are the real dark horse in this whole thing. And I think dark horse, you know, they're obviously a team that's built to win now. But Freddie's parents are both Canadian. He played for Canada in the World Baseball Classic. Having really gotten to know him and his dad over these years, there is a strong emphasis in Freddie's life to do what he can to memorialize his mother, who he lost when he was 14 years old. So I would not be surprised to see him in Canada playing for the Blue Jays, but I think the Dodgers just make a lot of sense.
Corey McCartney in Atlanta this morning. We talk about Freddie Freeman. We talk about Matt Olson. Matt's going to be introduced this afternoon at 1 o'clock. He's going to say all the right things, isn't he, about knowing that he's got a big shoes to fill and all this. But the dude can play the game. You look at his numbers from last year, and they were – a tick better than Freddie's last year, and he's, what, 4.5 years younger? So you're getting a quality guy to take over for a quality guy.
Yeah, this is – I know it's going to be a lot of people's eyes. It's going to be plan B. But the fact of the matter is you got a 28-year-old who's coming off of a 5-4 season Weighted run created plus 100 is league average hitter. He was 46% above that, so 146 weighted run created plus last year, a career high 39 home runs. He's a multi-time Gold Glove winner. No first baseman since 2017 has more defensive run saves than Matt Olson does. So you're getting a premier player, and he's making $12 million this year. Let's say Freddie, goes out in the open market and he's going to get closer to $30 million a year. Now, are the Braves going to take that differential and put that in other places in this team? I think that remains to be seen, but certainly you get a guy potentially at $18 million roughly difference this year, and you get comparable production. I know the back name in the back of the jersey is not going to be the one the Braves fans are used to seeing, but you're getting one heck of a player here in Matt Olson.
What did the Braves give up, in your opinion, Corey, for
a lot.
Olson? Okay, thank you.
a lot. So, having covered this team for 10 years, when we went through John Coppolello's reign as general manager, he was keen on just acquiring prospects. He's just acquire guys. With the intent and purpose later on that he'll use prospect capital to make that big splashy trade. Well, he didn't do it. In the early goings of Alex Anthopoulos' time, we've seen him trade away guys like Billy Wentz, Colby Allard, Bryce Wilson, guys who were all known commodities, but none of them were like those really highly ranked prospects in services like MLB Pipeline, where you saw, okay, this one hurts. They just gave up their guys who were ranked number 1, 2, 6, and 14. In their pipeline rankings to get Matt Olson. So 2 years of club control with him, I think that's the key thing here. There better be some talks of a contract negotiation and extension, because if you're going to be in this same boat a year from now wondering Matt Olson's destination, that's going to be awfully hard for some fans to swallow.
Okay, so he's got 1 year left on the contract then?
1 year after this.
Okay.
So, yep, 22 and 23.
All right. Daniel called earlier. He wanted us to ask you about the trade, maybe about Langeliers going instead of Contreras. You think maybe they offered him first and they said, no, we want to go Langeliers?
I would not be surprised. I mean, so there's always this kind of, measuring stick with a prospect, right? It's like they're great until they get to the majors and you see they're not ready. And certainly with Contreras, because he got thrust into the role with Travis d'Arnaud's injury last year, you saw a guy who wasn't ready, and certainly the Braves go out and they sign Manny Pena as a backup to Travis d'Arnaud. William Contreras isn't ready, but there's the luster is still all there with Langeliers. I think Langeliers has better tools than Contreras does. I think that one's going to hurt. I think he's going to get an opportunity in, I'd say, the next 2 years to be an everyday catcher.
Some lady, MLB Network, tweeting out yesterday about the Braves and discussions with Jock Peterson about a 1 year, $10 to $12 million neighborhood. Do you believe that to be true? And also Rosario and Soler, of those three guys, do you see any of them being back?
Well, I will couch that by saying that I don't know the individual that Jock Peterson retweeted. They have 50 followers, so I'm starting to believe that's not a real account.
Okay,
I'm not familiar with that person at all. But I think Jock would certainly love to be back, especially at $12 million. They had a club option on him that they didn't pick up. I think Eddie Rosario, probably makes more sense for a Soler. The thing with Soler is he's going to have so many suitors. I think you're getting into a potential bidding war for maybe a 3 or 4 year contract with him. I would not be surprised to see Rosario back on probably a 2 year deal. I think that makes a lot more sense. You've kind of got a logjam in the outfield now, and you've got one guy in Guillermo Heredia who can play center field on an everyday basis. And he's not an everyday fielder. So they've got to go out and figure out center field. So I would not be surprised to see, say, Rosario come back and have him address center field with somebody else.
By the way, she's up to 114 followers now, buddy.
That's good. There you go.
We've been talking about her. The last time the Braves won a World Series, it was part of a decade-and-a-half run as the best team in the National League. Is this a team that you see is building a long, sustained success, or is this a team that was just sort of a flash in a pan and might fall apart like so often champions do?
No, I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, certainly you have Ronald Acuña Jr. under contract. He's in the midst of a deal that, with the extent the option years, can force it to 10 years. The same thing with Ozzie Albies. You've got those two guys, sticking around. You've got so many guys that, are still in those arbitration years, like Austin Riley. I mean, we're going to be having a free agent conversation about Dean Swanson here in the next year, but certainly the pitchers, Max Fried, Mike Soroka gets back. I think there's still so many young guys within this organization that I don't think that's to the point. The problem, though, is that there are so many teams in the National League that are willing to throw money at the problem instead of developing guys long-term. I mean, the Dodgers have the ability to do both, but we're seeing what the Mets are doing. They spent $256 million on six guys this offseason. You know, obviously, they brought in Lindor the year before that. So, you know, I think the Braves are going to be extremely good for a long period of time, but I don't know that you're going to see a scenario where you're talking about, you know, three World Series in 5 years, appearances, stuff like that, because I think the National League is just becoming so good and so top-heavy with so many teams.
I continue to be concerned about Soroka's health. Is Greinke maybe in the mix for the Braves? Are they looking at another starting pitcher? Would he be in that mix?
I'd be surprised if they go after him. I think you're to this point seeing the pitching market kind of take the turn that it has when the big guys, and, you know, and Carlos Rodon and Clayton Kershaw are already off the board. I think you're looking, if you can't get somebody via a deal, I think you're looking more at that Danny Duffy, Michael Pineda, you know, and so I think Zach Greinke would be interesting. I just don't know that he has a lot left. I think, you know, what it would cost to get him, I don't know that that's really – I didn't think he looked that impressive at all last year, and I think that would be – I just can't see the Braves going that direction.
2 weeks ago, did you think we would be getting ready to start the season on April 7th? It did not look good, did it?
No, I mean, I'm certainly glad that we're not going to be missing any further games or playing a full 162. The only bad part about this is the CBA lasts for 5 years. So it's like right after you get comfortable, you're going to start having those negotiations again. So, but at least we're getting a full 162 in 22.
Corey, tell folks where they can keep up with you, man.
Yeah, so check out Battery Power. I used to be Talking Chop, changing into Battery Power, so you can find all of our great Braves content there. I'm on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Corey McCartney in Atlanta.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.